You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome back to some sort of the Clear Jets podcast. We're with Ben Blessington and Michael Nania. Michael, free agency officially underway. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting for the Aaron Rodgers news to hit. At the time of this recording, it is still not even officially hit. By the time you're listening to this, I really hope it's hit. And we'll have a better idea on the compensation. And we'll have, you know, we can take a breath. It'll be official that Aaron Rodgers is the Jets quarterback. But we haven't done a podcast in a week. There's been some news that's happened. And Michael and I were like, you know what? Let's just go ahead, record a short podcast, talk about the news that's happened. It seems like Rodgers is happening as well, so we could talk about it. And then presumably when the deal gets announced, if it's on Wednesday, if it's on Thursday, whatever it is, we'll record another one. We'll talk about the compensation. We can break it all down. But Michael, with that said, free agency underway. Joe Douglas off to a good start, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to kind of appreciate it while we were going through all the Aaron Rodgers waiting process, but you know, now that this has kind of gotten to the point where we're like, all right, this is gonna take a little bit, it seems like it's still fairly likely. I think for me at least, I've chilled out on it a little bit in terms of how much I'm stressing about it.
And I was worried about you for a minute. You were unhinged.
I was worried about myself for a little bit, because I mean, this is one of the most bizarre situations I've ever experienced watching this team, and there have been plenty of bizarre situations. I know you and I were discussing this. You think it's not the most bizarre situation.
Well, yeah, you said this is the most bizarre situation I've ever seen. And I was like, all right, their starting quarterback got knocked out in the locker room.
I know there are good candidates. We got a quarterback getting punched. We got a quarterback getting mono. We got a quarterback doing certain things with friends of certain family members. So there have been some bizarre situations for sure. But I think what makes this one different is just like those things are, you know, they're weird, but that's just, you know, people doing things in life that happens. But this is just an unprecedented situation in terms of how it's covered and how it's played out. Because, like, you go back to last week, everything was going pretty naturally. You know, Carr signed with the Saints, which was on the table. And right after that, the next day, the Jets are flying out to meet with Rodgers at his house in California. And you're like, all right, this is going well. And you don't expect the news to drop that same day. We figured that, so we're like, all right, maybe the next day it'll happen. It doesn't happen then, and you're like, all right, fine, even that makes sense. By the end of this week, it should drop. And Thursday comes, you get that Diana Russini report, and she's saying it's, you know, it's a done deal. Not it's a done deal, they're optimistic that they're right, very close to getting it done. And you're like, all right, this is going to be the day. And Thursday goes by, Friday goes by, and Saturday goes by, and you're like,
yeah, right, it'll be done by Sunday.
It's got to happen by the time legal tampering opens on Monday. And Sunday goes by, and you're like, it's got to happen these next few hours. And then it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11, 12 gets there. Still hasn't happened. Whole day goes by.
We got the Trey Wingo tweet, though.
But Trey Wingo comes through, and that was the moment of hope where you're like, this is going to happen. He tweets it, and the Jets players are backing up. You're like, just someone finish this off. One of those blue checks.
I was just refreshing.
Schefter, come on, finish this off. Then they're like, no, hasn't happened. Like, what a roller coaster ride it's been.
Schefter's taking live calls on, I know he does that, but he was walking off the set on the phone. I'm like, this is it.
Actually the Greg Zuerlein news, most likely. But yeah, like just overreacting to everything, like, based on Rodgers' likes and the players' tweets, everything, like, we're up, Rodgers is definitely happening. Then, oh no, Rodgers liked a Rasul Douglas tweet. Now we're back down to 80%. So it's just been a crazy ride of emotions. I've been losing sleep, legitimately. I've been getting up, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning.
Well, you've interviewed Rodgers. You've interviewed Rodgers a few times.
Yeah, I did interview Rodgers a few times. He had some interesting things to say. No, I did. If you haven't heard, I've done some AI voice.
What are you using for that?
Reveal his secrets. Okay. But yeah, I've used some AI software to make some fake Aaron Rodgers interviews. Let's hope that he hasn't listened to them.
Yeah.
It might scare him away. I would be scared if someone was doing that personally, because it's scary how good and accurate it is. I mean,
well, it has all those weird inflections too. I mean, it really does.
It's very realistic. It sounds like a real person. But yeah, crazy week. I've definitely gone unhinged at times, and I was worrying about my health. But after legal tampering, like that day, the first day went by, nothing happened. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna chill out. And someone can text it to me or something like that. I don't need to refresh constantly. When it happens.
I think my thumbs are basically nubs at this point, just from refreshing Twitter over and over again this weekend. I feel like we should talk about some of the other moves that's happened. There's some more stuff to talk about with Rodgers, but briefly, let's talk about the actual news, the new guys on the Jets. We'll start with Chuck Clark. The trade the Jets made over the weekend that we couldn't appreciate. And also Schefter, I don't know what he deserves.
Never forgiving Schefter for that.
The Jets have made a trade, and it's Chuck Clark for a 7th-round pick. And I know
I didn't feel like, though, as soon as I saw that, like, there's no way that's actually the trade. He wouldn't lead into it like that. But still, like, the gall on him to play with Jets fans like that in that moment.
I know Jets fans were upset about being played with in that moment, but once I got over the initial, oh, come on, I was like, damn, that's a really good trade for a damn good player in Baltimore. And Chuck Clark, who, by the way, is, you know, he was the third safety in Baltimore because they brought in Marcus Williams and they drafted Kyle Hamilton. But Chuck Clark has been a damn good player. He's incredibly durable. He's a leader on that team. He's certainly an upgrade, and I think he's a great fit. It also gives the Jets some flexibility to move on from Jordan Whitehead. I know some of the beat reporters have been assuming that maybe they'll try to keep both of them in the fold. But to me, Chuck Clark is a strong safety, and I think his strengths are going to be more in the box. I know the Jets like to play a lot of quarters coverage with their two safeties. It'll be interesting to see how they use Chuck Clark, but a secure tackler, and you can put him in the box, and he's definitely going to be an upgrade, especially in the run game. And I love his ability to man up with tight ends. I love this deal. I think we're going to look back on this trade, especially for the value. I mean, because we were talking about the Jets needed maybe even two safeties. You look at the free agent market, especially now that the Jets have missed out on Jimmy Ward, and we'll get to the other free agents in a minute. You look at the free agent market, what they would have to pay a guy like Chuck Clark if he hit the open market, it wouldn't be the $4 million that he's going to earn this year. You throw in a 7th-round pick, and I love this move, Michael. So what was your reaction once you came down from the disappointment of the Rodgers news not being announced? How did you react to this? I think I texted you and I said, we're going to look back on this trade as one of Joe Douglas's best moves. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, this was a really good trade, and it was hard to appreciate at first. But then once you kind of let the dust settle and analyze it, you're like, I mean, I think they got their starting strong safety in this deal, and we'll see what they do. But I mean, there's a lot of cap space to be had with that Whitehead cut, which it looks like they're going to need considering some of the moves they have in the works here. So I think Chuck Clark is your starting strong safety. I think he's what they needed at that strong safety spot. And I'm not going to sit here and try to act like he's a Pro Bowler or a superstar or anything like that. But I think he covers up some of the weaknesses that Jordan Whitehead had last season that were part of the main reasons, or among the main reasons, that the Jets were, you know, the 4th, 5th best defense instead of potentially being the best. The main thing is tackling. Chuck Clark is one of the best tackling safeties in the league. Consistently over the past few years, he's ranked near the top among safeties in terms of the lowest frequency of missed tackles, and Whitehead is at the top of that list for missed tackles last season. So that was a big issue. I think Clark cleans that up, especially in the run game. And then in coverage, as you said, he gives you that man coverage ability in the slot against tight ends. That's something he's really good at. And the weaknesses are similar to Whitehead. He's not going to be a big time playmaker taking the ball away. His deep coverage, I think, is pretty shaky. That's probably the biggest weakness in his game. So That area might not see much improvement, but I think the things Whitehead was supposed to be good at, or at least was billed as being good at, he really wasn't that effective in those areas. And I think Clark is more proven at being efficient and consistent at those things, which is just the fundamentally sound cleanup stuff, making tackles in the run game, fulfilling your responsibilities, just filling gaps, things like that. So I think he's a very solid value for the trade and for the contract. And if I were in charge, he would be my starting strong safety and I would cut Whitehead, but we will see what they do. So, and at the end of the day, you gave up a 7th round pick next year, $4 million cap hit. So it's, you know, not a huge investment regardless of what he does. So really like the trade for sure.
Yeah, I really like what he brings to this team. I mean, I think the tackling alone will really be beneficial for this run defense. How many times last year did we see Jordan Whitehead fill the gap and either get run over by an offensive lineman or miss the tackle? He had the brutal one against the Bengals on that third down where they called the blitz and he missed. I just, like you said, he's not going to maybe take the ball away. They still should add another free safety, and maybe that's the guy that they can maybe bring in as a ball hawk. But you look at the talent the Jets have in their back end, having a guy like Chuck Clark, who you know is going to be a damn good tackler, very smart player, you know, as I said, can fill against the run and can man up against tight ends, especially in the red zone. I love this trade. Tremendous value, great player. If you hit the open market, you're paying him more. I just think this was a fantastic move that flew under the radar right before free agency. But I really think by the time the season gets underway, we're going to be very thankful that Joe Douglas brought in a guy like Chuck Clark. So that was one acquisition. And then the only other move that the Jets have made was today, we're recording this Tuesday night, in Alan Lazard. Obviously, there's a lot of other news we're going to get to, but let's just talk about the two guys who are actually on the team. What did you think about Lazard? Because I think we talked about him last week and we were like, well, you know, you look at wide receiver contracts. Are you trying to pay a guy like Lazard $15, $16 million a year? He had Aaron Rodgers. His numbers weren't as good. But like the player, I just don't know if that's what the Jets would do. They should keep Corey Davis. You see the contract that Jacoby Myers got earlier today, and that gave me some hope. I was like, wait a second. I don't think this contract's going to be crazy. And then sure enough, it comes in. Alan Lazard, it's essentially a two-year, $22 million deal. It's a four-year, $44 million deal, but really just look at the guaranteed money. And I got to say, Michael, as much as I love the Chuck Clark trade, I love this move equally as much. And I'm not just trying to be a Joe Douglas homer. I really – there's some stuff to talk about. You know, I'm not happy they missed out on Brendel and Ward or whatever. Some things are out of your control. But the two moves that they have made, I love both of them. So what did you think about Alan Lazard the more you dug into him?
Well, I mean – to be completely honest, I'm not going to, you know, walk back what I was saying about a player prior to him joining the Jets, because I wasn't very pro Lazard prior to him becoming a Jet. I'm a huge Corey Davis guy. I was happy with him.
And Jesus. A huge Corey Davis guy?
Yeah, I'm a huge Corey Davis guy. Yeah, you're a huge Chuck Clark guy.
Just you. It's just you. You're the, yeah, okay.
Joe Blue is a big Corey Davis fan. He would back me up. Maybe he wouldn't describe himself as a huge Corey Davis guy.
Is this an upgrade, do you think?
All right. So here's what I would say. I think if you consider durability and also the, you know, familiarity with Rodgers and Hackett and, you know, what we know Lazard can do with those circumstances, I would say yes. But I think Davis, if he could stay healthy for a whole season and project well with Rodgers and Hackett, if he hit his ceiling, I do think he does have a higher ceiling than Lazard, but you know what I was saying was I think going into this or going into free agency, I wasn't enthused about the idea of him because I was assuming he would get a lot more money than he did. I was thinking, you know, the wide receiver market has boomed every single offseason here the past few years. There were rumors of Jacoby Myers getting $15, $20 million a year, so I thought he was going to be significantly more expensive than Davis, but he comes in and gets $444 million. And, you know, if I knew he was going to get that, I would be much more open to it. And another thing I think that I was kind of probably should have considered more when I was thinking about him prior to free agency was, you know, this past season, he was their number one guy in terms of targets. And that's not the role he would be playing here. He would be moving back into that role he was the previous few seasons where Devontae Adams was there and he was a complimentary piece And it was those first three seasons prior to last year, he was a lot more efficient in terms of what he's doing per target. And that's what he's going to be here with the Jets. Garrett Wilson is going to lead the way. And I think Lazard can be a very efficient complimentary guy who's not going to get targeted a lot, but I think he could put up a very good number of touchdowns for the number of targets that he gets and get good chunks of yardage per catch as well. He has good chemistry with Rodgers on those go balls. I mean, hopefully it's Rodgers. Let's not assume anything just yet, but he does have good vertical ability. I think he beats Corey Davis there for sure. And also, you know, just using his size, having the catch radius. And I think Corey Davis is a good contested catcher in terms of like if a guy is draped on his back, he's going over the middle, like those tight window catches. Right. But in terms of catch radius,
like that fourth down against Minnesota.
Yeah, like stuff like that. I think that's Corey Davis's specialty. Maybe he beats Lazard there because Lazard does have about average, maybe below average drop numbers. So maybe that goes to Davis. But the catch radius in terms of being able to catch a fade, adjust to an underthrown ball, stuff like that, I think you give that to Lazard. So he's good in the red zone. He's, I think, good on vertical routes. And he's a great blocker as well, which Corey Davis is too. So if they do move on from Davis, which seems likely, I think Lazard can replicate what Davis does there. So all things considered, I think he can be a slight upgrade over Davis. But it's just the, you know, assuming they do get Rodgers, right, the familiarity and the reliability of what he can bring you since you've seen him play with not only Rodgers, but Hackett as well.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason I wanted to wait a little bit to see the compensation on the trade is to see if the Jets are going to send anybody back towards Green Bay. I think this signing signals to me that Corey Davis is going to go to Green Bay. There was that report that Green Bay was interested in trading for him. I think it was this past year. They could maybe move Elijah Moore, but given that Elijah Moore told Matt LaFleur's brother to go F himself, I have a feeling it'll be Corey Davis. And so I love bringing in Lazard to swap him out for Corey Davis. Like you said, he's more durable. I think the biggest thing that he's going to bring that Corey Davis didn't was that size. I mean, the Jets haven't had a receiver that could box out corners like Lazard can, probably since Brandon Marshall in 2015 and 2016. I think, yeah, assuming you have a guy like Rodgers, I mean, being able to have they already have the chemistry on those back shoulder fades. His size is going to be crucial in the red zone. I think that is really where he's going to be doing a lot of his work. Because like you said, look, is he a guy who's going to rack up a bunch of receptions and a bunch of yards? Probably not most games, but when you get inside the 20s, that's a type of receiver that I think is you know, could go for 8 to 10 to 12 touchdowns this season. I don't think this signing would happen under Mike LaFleur. I think this signals a bit of a philosophical switch in how they are going to run their offense because LaFleur liked those smaller, shiftier receivers. Emphasis on route running and getting open. And not that the offense is too different, but, you know, he clearly didn't like what Mims is bringing to the table, who's a similar player to Lazard. Obviously, Lazard is a lot better. But in terms of a physical, big body receiver who, you know, isn't going to create a ton of separation but can high point balls and, you know, could be a nightmare in the red zone. Obviously, Mims did not develop at all under LaFleur. I know people are sick of hearing about Denzel Mims, but when you look at the Jets' receiving depth chart, I would imagine Mims is going to be on this team. I would imagine he's going to be Lazard's backup. So there's a good chance you're going to see him on the field. And as annoying as his career has been and frustrating as it's been thus far, I think a new system and having a Hall of Fame quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, there's a good chance a guy like Mims could have a good season. But regardless, I think this signing signals to me some differences in their offense this year. You know, you saw how he used how Hackett used Lazard in Green Bay. You saw how he tried to use Sutton last year in Denver. I like the Jets having a big-bodied receiver, and it's just something I felt like they've missed, they've lacked. They've just felt like a small team the last few years, and I like that they're getting some size on the perimeter. And I think he just complements their unit quite nicely with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. So those are the two additions. Obviously, we'll still be talking about them, but those are the two additions. Now, I think the next thing we could talk about is Rodgers' wish list that came out. I guess that was the other report from Diana Rossini saying the Jets, not only is, you know, did he want the Jets to bring in Alan Lazard, he wants to bring in Randall Cobb, he wants to bring in Mercedes Lewis. You're tweeting about Jermichael Finley and Donald Driver. That was a joke for anybody who didn't get it. But the one big name on that tweet that this might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't want OBJ. I don't know if he's a great fit for plenty of reasons we can get into. But first, what were your thoughts on that wish list that came out? I know the Jets were getting poked, made fun of for whatever reason. I guess they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Do you think is it the Rodgers reunion party in Florham Park this season? Do you think they're going to bring in some of these guys?
Well, I think the first thing I thought when I saw it was I did view it as a positive sign in terms of the development of the deal, because when I saw that, I thought, okay, if you know he's already giving requests of which players he wants, that's probably a good sign in terms of where this thing is going. So that's the main thing I took away. But the players themselves, I think Cobb would be decent as the fourth receiver, kind of filling in what Berrios was. Not in terms of being the same kind of player, because I don't think Cobb is nearly as fast as Berrios was for the Jets at 32 years old. But he has very good hands. He's, you know, he still drops very few passes, is a solid route runner. I mean, he was good in his role last year for the Packers. So I think he could be a, you know, good backup slot, fourth receiver. Lewis, that one was kind of puzzling to see. I don't know where he'd fit on this team with the Jets already having three tight ends who are very much locked into this depth chart. Conklin and Uzama are not getting traded after they just got restructured into having, you know, very player-friendly deals now.
I guess Rucker could be moved, maybe.
And Rucker, I guess you could trade him, but he showed potential at the end of last season. You just drafted him in the third round. We're going to trade him to get Mercedes Lewis in here.
Yeah.
So I don't really know where he'd fit in. That one's weird. But Beckham, obviously that's a big one. Look, I'll be honest. If they get Odell Beckham, I'm going to come on here, and we're going to be all excited. We're going to be hyped all offseason, and I'll root for him and back him up and see all the optimism and potential ceiling that comes with adding a guy who has shown as high of a ceiling as he has in his career. So I'm not going to lie and say it wouldn't be exciting to get him. But right now, while we're still in our logical state, before he is a New York Jet, this is not a move they should make. It doesn't make sense because, you know, he's 32 years old at this point. He's coming off of his second ACL tear. And before that, he already was showing signs of pretty rapid decline. I mean, he did have a very good playoff run with the Rams in 2021, but in that regular season, he was only catching three passes a game for 38 yards. And the season before that, 46 yards a game. So it hasn't been since 2019 that he had 1,000 yards in a season. So look, every player has a price. If you could get him at an affordable deal that's reasonable for, you know, the health risks, the age. He's also not 32. He's 30, but he'll be 31 this year. So just correcting that. But yeah, with all those things, the age, the injury risks, the production decline, the locker room, and what might happen in there, there's a lot of red flags here that come with the ceiling. So if you could get him for a price that makes sense, considering all of that, absolutely. I think that applies to any player. There's a price for everyone. But with some of the numbers being thrown around, I mean, I think Diana Rossini was saying in that 15 plus, maybe even close to 20 range. And like, that does not make sense for this player.
Yeah. I like the Jets getting aggressive, and they're very much going all in for this year, but you just don't want to get reckless at a certain point. And it's like, 15 to 20 million a year for a guy who, look, I think he really only fits if you're moving Elijah Moore, because otherwise I don't really, is Elijah Moore your fourth receiver? It doesn't really make too much sense. So if they're moving Elijah Moore and they're moving Corey Davis, I could get behind it, but I would rather just keep Elijah Moore for a few reasons. But yeah, like you said, I mean, age, durability, what type of impact would he have on the young receivers in your locker room? Look, I don't know OBJ, obviously, but I think he's had a few incidents over the last few years.
I did see that. I don't know if you saw, but Snacks Harrison on Twitter responded to some fan who called him a diva, and he said, absolutely not, or something like that. So he was backing him up.
He would know better.
He played with them on the Giants.
That's true. Look, he's exciting. Like you said, if he's on the team, obviously we'll be excited, but it just doesn't seem like one of those moves. The Jets are already strapped for cash, and they're going to throw 15 to 20 million a year at a diva receiver who's 30 years old, who's coming off multiple knee injuries. And I think part of the reason you like that you bring in Rodgers is that He's going to elevate the talent around him. And it's not like he's surrounded by a bunch of it's like you already have
that's
Garrett
another
Wilson,
big part of this. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
One of the big reasons we thought that Rodgers was potentially going to come here was the Jets had the pieces in place to, you know, supplement him potentially competing for a Super Bowl and to have an improved supporting cast over the Packers team. So it doesn't make sense to me that you would have to, okay, let's get Rodgers, but we also have to bring in 20 different skill position weapons here. The Jets have pieces in place. Like, if you want to get Lazard, great. You know, one familiar guy, he could, you know, wash out Corey Davis in terms of the cap and, you know, kind of fill a similar role. So that makes sense. But beyond that, it's like, give Elijah Moore a chance to cook. Right. We all saw his film last year. We saw how good he could be, you know, if he has a quarterback that gets him the ball with the separation he was creating. And he's a cheap, cost-controlled player who you have under contract versus Odell Beckham, who could, you know, you could be paying him in 2 years to be sitting on the bench again with another injury or just being washed up and not being nearly as good as he used to be. So this one does not make a lot of sense to me. Yeah. But there's upside for sure. Apparently he looked good at his workout for whatever that's worth.
I saw a clip. He did look good. But, you know,
he did look good. He did.
Zach Wilson looked good at his workout. So
right. Everyone looks good in shorts, as they say. So
Not me.
I don't know.
With these skinny calves.
I've been working on my legs recently.
You've been hitting the leg day after Mekhi Becton's inspirational posts every day?
Mekhi Becton's inspirational posts have got me going. So I've been working on it. So hopefully I look good in shorts as well going forward.
Here's what I would say about Elijah. Obviously, disappointing year last year. But I, like you said, if you watch the film at all, you can see the type of player he is. The year before that, you clearly saw the flashes. I mean, to the point in training camp where all the beat reporters, I don't know how much you can read into it, but beat reporters are talking about Elijah Moore as the best player at practice. This guy's a future star. This guy's a number one receiver. They start last year, he's playing X, and then they move him to slot mid-year. I think you give him, first of all, he gets a reset. He gets a fresh start, new offensive coordinator, new system. He's going to go in as the slot. He has a whole summer to prepare as a slot. And then, yeah, he has a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing in the ball. And guys like Garrett Wilson will take attention away from him. Guys like Alan Lazard will take attention away from him. I think Elijah Moore is in store for a big year. And like you said, he's on that rookie deal. And, you know, with all the moves the Jets are making, with all the money they're pushing around, with Elijah Moore's blow up last year, is Moore a guy who's here in 3 years? Probably not. You know, it's possible if he goes off and, you know, the Jets resign him, whatever. If I'm making a, you know, gut call right now, I don't think Elijah Moore is on the team for much longer, but you know, you play him this year. He is a, if he has a tremendous year, if he has the type of year that I think he's going to have with Aaron Rodgers and puts up the numbers that I think he will, you could turn around next offseason and flip him for a second round pick or trade him and recoup, you know, good value with him. I wouldn't sell him while his value's low. If he has to be included in the deal to get Rodgers, that's one thing. I would much rather give up Corey Davis. I love the fit and the balance between Lazard and Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. If he has to be included, that's one thing. But otherwise, I'm keeping Elijah Moore. I'm buying Elijah Moore stock right now because I really think he's going to have a great year. Even if he's not in your future plans, you can sell him at a higher price next year, in my opinion, because I think he's going to go off. So with that being said, though, there are a few other Jets. We touched on Corey Davis, who's likely out of here. We touched on Elijah Moore, who hopefully isn't out of here. Jordan Whitehead, probably out of here, we have to see what the Jets do at safety. Carl Lawson, you know, we haven't seen anything with Carl, no restructure, no, he hasn't been released. It's possible he's included in this deal for Rodgers, maybe. What do you think's happening there? I know the Jets are trying to bring back Sheldon Rankins at defensive tackle. I think, you know, it'll be tough to be paying both Lawson and Rankins. The fact that Lawson's contract hasn't been restructured makes me think he's not willing to take a pay cut. I could be wrong. So what's your gut feeling on Lawson as we head into the official start of a free agency?
Well, I guess it will be interesting to see what happens because you could obviously cut him. You could restructure him in terms of, you know, not restructure, just take a pay cut. Since this is the final year of his deal. I don't know. It's a very curious decision. I guess it depends on how confident they are in the young guys on the roster stepping up and taking his place because, you know, he had a, I would say, somewhat disappointing year, but he also was a competent, solid starter. Who
And coming off of a devastating injury.
Right, he had coming to off get the injury.
Another surgery on in December.
And, you know, he did – the thing he has that I think is questionable for the younger players is that he did play both phases pretty well. I think his run defense I was skeptical of it before I went back and rewatched the film from the season, but after I went back and kind of watched all the run defense film from the season, he was more solid than I thought. He's not great or anything, but he was okay. And obviously pass rushing, he brought that to the table, probably average, above average. So he can do both. So he is able to start because he can do that versus the other guys in the roster. You know, Bryce Huff, obviously there are questions with his run defense. Does the team trust him there? And then Jermaine Johnson and Michael Clemens were great run stuffers, but they still have some pass rushing progress to make. So that's the question. Do they think any of those guys could step up and be a starter in Lawson's role, or would they rather hedge their bets and try to get Lawson back on a slightly lower number and just have him around for more depth, more talent on that defensive line? Or do you just hand over the keys to the young guys and take all the savings you can get for Lawson? So at this point, you know, Whitehead's still out there, so we got to see what happens with him as well. But they restructured a lot of guys who they plan on keeping. You know, Conklin, Reed, Uzama, Tomlinson. So a lot of restructures in there for those players on multi-year deals that they know are going to stay. But in terms of the pay cut for these contract year guys, that still seems TBD.
Yeah, I mean, they're pushing... And I guess this brings us to my next point. I mean, they're pushing more money down the line. I mean, they're taking the guaranteed money and pushing it into, for guys like Tomlinson, who I think we were hoping to get out of that deal. I mean, I think they still obviously can. Guys like Uzama and Conklin, they're moving that money down the line. You know, do you think is there a part of you that's scared that how all in they're going for this year? You know, I just knowing the Jets, knowing how it could blow up in their face. But I mean, I can't lie. It's exciting. This is a team that has the longest playoff drought in the NFL. This is the first time they're going to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. And, you know, we have to see how they fill out the rest of the roster. But there's an argument to be made. Outside of the 49ers, there's not a better roster in the NFL. As crazy as that might be to say. I mean, maybe the Eagles, but they've lost some guys in both the coordinators. But as crazy as it is to say, we have to see how they fill it out. But if they get in Rodgers and they, you know, patch up free safety and center and whatnot, this is a fantastic roster. But there's the fear that if they lose in the playoffs, are we going to be sitting here next offseason and, you know, maybe be, you know, ruining how much money they were pushing forward into these future years? I mean, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the Jets going all in on this year and pushing money on some of those guys that we talked about down the line?
Well, I think if you get Aaron Rodgers, then it makes sense to, you know, take this approach, because if you get him, it's all about 2023 and, you know, hopefully 2024. I think you'd like to get 2 years out of him. But, you know, if you get Rodgers, the future is out the window for now. You have to get the most out of that short-term window. So if, again, assuming he comes in, it would be, I think, the right move to make that approach and do everything you can to maximize the present day roster. And, you know, in terms of the restructures and, you know, whether the cap is real and all that stuff, I think there has to be a balance to it when you're looking at it, because on one hand, yes, I think there is a dimension of this to where, you know, the cap isn't entirely restrictive as it may seem, because I mean, look at the Saints. This team has been pushing money back for years, and we keep saying, oh, they're going to pay for it one day, that it's going to catch up to them. But here they are. They just went and gave Derek Carr $100 million. So there's always ways.
Right.
There's always a way to work around
and the TV contracts.
And that, you know, that is in play as well, consistently upping the money. So there's always ways to work around it. But at the same time, I think it is reasonable to say there are some ramifications and consequences. So it's definitely not a video game to where you could just go wild, do whatever you want. It's not baseball with no salary cap. There is some degree of consequence to it, so you don't want to be too out of hand. But at the same time, I think a lot of teams are showing that it is something that can be worked around. So if you're a team with a short-term window like the Jets are potentially looking at becoming, hopefully by the time you're listening to this, we could have some resolution on that finally. But assuming that's what the Jets are doing, they're a short-term window team, and I think it would be okay to push some of that money back to, you know, make sure you can sign the free agents you want to sign to plug those holes you have that are holding you back from being a Super Bowl caliber team, to get Rodgers in here and get the people he wants. So I'm okay with it if they could get him.
I guess let's talk about some of the guys they did miss out on and how they might be able to rebound. We were talking about Jimmy Ward and Jake Brendel as two guys, two former Niners that we thought the Jets could bring in at free safety and center. Both those guys went elsewhere, and it leaves the Jets in an interesting spot here. The center market is dried up considerably. There's still Ben Jones out there who's overlapped with Keith Carter and Todd Downing in Tennessee. I think he's probably their top option at center unless they look towards the draft. At free safety, there's a few guys, not necessarily sure who makes the most sense because I feel like Ward was probably the best fit. It sounds like the Jets were probably interested in both those guys. I mean, the report came out that they even offered Brendel more money to come to New York, but he chose San Francisco. What do the Jets do? How do they pivot at those two spots? I mean, specifically at offensive line, because as exciting as this, all these moves are, and we're talking about OBJ and all these weapons the Jets have, you know, you have 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers back there. You can't have him taking that many hits a game. They have to have a competent offensive line in front of him. And right now there's two massive holes on that offensive line and two players coming off of major injuries. So that's a bit of a concern. Who are some of the best remaining options and some of the guys that you think they should pivot to after losing out on guys like Ward and Brendel?
I mean, to be honest, it is kind of hard to find some appealing options at these positions right now. I don't think either of those positions had strong classes coming in. I mean, center did have some good options at the top, but they're mostly off the board now. And free safety was one of the weaker positions, I think. And Jimmy Ward was probably the best fit, and he's off the board right now. So, I mean, looking at center, there are a couple of ways they could go at this point. Ben Jones, longtime Titan center. He's a veteran. I believe he's 32 years old. Had some concussion issues. I think he failed his physical. So he's 33. Plenty of red flags there that, you know, we've experienced already with guys like Ryan Khalil coming late in their career at center. But he did play very well still last season. He was a Pro Bowler. He's been one of the top producing centers for quite a long time. The main reason I'm bringing him up is because he has the connection to Todd Downing and Keith Carter. So there's that connection, and he's a solid player if they want to. And, you know, we're talking about a win now team, so maybe a guy like that is appealing for both the team and player. He hasn't won a ring yet, so maybe he's appealed for playing with Rodgers and the Jets. So that's something to keep in mind. Rich Cimini brought up Graham Glasgow from the Broncos, so Nathaniel Hackett connection. I think from looking at some of his numbers and what some people are saying, he's maybe average, below average kind of starting center. He also has guard versatility, which is, you know, Joe Douglas has valued versatility in the past, so that's a nice bonus. But I don't think he's as good as Jones, assuming Jones would be playing at the level he has, but that's not guaranteed because he's older and had injury questions last year. So there were a lot of good center options. There's Garrett Bradbury, Ethan Pochick from the Browns, and Bradley Bozeman from the Panthers, and they all re-signed, and the numbers were not outrageous. I think all three of those guys were $6 million a year for 3 years, which is lower compared to what centers have usually been getting. I mean, McGovern signed for $327 million in 2020, so $9 million a year. And then Jake Brendel was my favorite target. We brought him up. He re-signed with the Niners for 4 years, $20 million. And apparently the Jets offered him more, so they did try. I guess you can't fault them for that. He took less money to go back. So, I guess it's Ben Jones, Graham Glasgow, or maybe Connor McGovern. Return is still on the table. But, I mean, the fact that they went apparently aggressive for Brendel leads you to believe that they're probably looking to move on from McGovern, but they are sort of running short on options here, and the prices on the market suggest that maybe they can get McGovern back for a number that you'd be happy with.
I have another option for you. How about Isaac Seumalo, the guard from Philadelphia? However, he played center in college. He's shown some versatility. Jason Kelsey's returning to Philadelphia, and they have Cam Jurgens, so not sure they're going to be able to bring him back. He could be pricey, but this is a Pro Bowl alternate guard. It gives you some flexibility in the draft because maybe you draft a center. You could play Seumalo at right guard. You could play AVT at tackle. Or, you know, if the draft unfolds differently and you draft a tackle, you know, I'm not sure his comfort level at center, but he went to Oregon State. And so he was like the first, I have to look at his thing again, but I think he was the first true freshman to start at center in a long time. And, you know, he was successful, obviously went to the NFL. He's had a good career. I think that's an option they could explore because he's the type of guy they can sign, and it just keeps their options open. For the draft, they're certainly going to have to go hard at O-line in the draft. Joe Douglas will certainly earn his scouting chops. But what do you think about that idea? And not even, you know, maybe they do add a center, but just in general, the idea of, look, the tackle market, pretty thin. The center market at this point is pretty thin. I know we have AVT and we have Lakin Tomlinson, but AVT is incredibly versatile. Why don't we go and pay some money to another guard, and that, you know, we can either bump AVT out to tackle or we can move this guy into center. Do you like that idea? Do you think the Jets have the money to do it? I mean, how do you feel about it?
I think that's an interesting outside-the-box idea. I mean, there is the Joe Douglas connection. He was there with the Eagles when they drafted Seumalo, and he has played some center snaps in the NFL, only a few, 34 snaps at center in his NFL career. So, you know, that's very little. It's nothing to go off of, but at least he has played it, so it is on the table. So I guess that's an outside the box option if they want to get creative. I guess the more interesting thing is, in terms of AVT and how they're going to improve this offensive line, will they maybe consider signing a guard in free agency and moving him to tackle, because right, there aren't really any good tackles out there at this point. And any of the top tackles are probably going to be too expensive, but there are some guards you could think about. So maybe they assign Seumalo as a guard and put AVT at right tackle. So that's interesting.
Right.
There's Dalton Reisner is out there, another Bronco with the Hackett connection. So that's something that's on the table. If they really want to, if they're very focused on, we got to get more talent for this O-line, that is probably the best avenue for doing that prior to the draft.
I think that is the only way that they could sign somebody that would legitimately improve the starting five. I do trust Joe Douglas to sign some guys at the bottom of the barrel in the coming weeks to fill out the depth of the offensive line, you know, somebody like Cam Fleming, you know, to just shore up, you know, the backup spots, just because there's uncertainty with Becton and Mitchell both coming off of injuries. Dwayne Brown is coming off an injury and he's damn near 40 years old. So they're going to have to improve the depth. But if you're looking at trying to bring in somebody to shore up a spot, improve the starting five, I think Seumalo is their best bet. I'm curious to see what his numbers are. But I would, if I had to guess, if I was a betting man, I would say the Jets are in on him. And I would rather they use that money on a guard than OBJ. You know, I think that's kind of circling back to the earlier point. All right. I guess a few other things before we get out of here. Obviously, once the Rodgers deal is announced, we'll come back on here and do another one, talk about the compensation and any other moves the Jets make. Who are some of the guys you want, though? I mean, I know we briefly touched on some of the guys for offensive line, but is there anybody you have your eye on that you do hope the Jets really target and sign? I know you were talking to me beforehand. You really hope the Jets bring back Rankins as well. I mean, just your outlook as we head into the official start of free agency and what Joe Douglas should do.
Well, I definitely like Rankins back, and I do understand there are some risks here. He definitely could get paid, because if there's one position in this market that we've seen make some big money, it's definitely defensive tackle. I mean, they've been getting paid, even, you know, guys in Rankin's tier, you know, solid starters, average starters are getting, you know, eight-figure deals per year. So it's an inexpensive market. He could get a nice contract, but I mean, you look at the Jets' picture of defensive tackle, you have Quinn Williams, but he's pretty much it right now. So if you don't re-sign Rankins, it's a very thin position. And, you know, you hope that at that point the Jets scouting could come through and find some unheralded value talent to put in there, whether that's through the draft or value free agent signings. But having a second quality starter next to Quinnen last year was very valuable. The fact that Rankins was, you know, a good two-way player last year made that starting D-line formidable against both the run and the pass. And then when those two guys subbed out and the backups were in, you saw how bad things could get at times, especially against the run, when you don't have two guys out there who could play both phases. And the risk, of course, is, you know, in his first season, Rankins wasn't that player. He was disappointing in that 2021 year, and he turned it on for the contract season. That does make you worried. Will that happen again going forward? You know, was that just 1 year to get the contract, and then you're going to get another disappointing season next year? That's a legitimate concern. But yeah, I would definitely like to see him back. But obviously, if it gets out of hand, you would understand that the Jets are going to have to pass on it and find a way to replace him. But it's an underrated weakness on the roster, the defensive tackle talent after Quinnen Williams. So I think bringing Rankins back would be pretty useful.
What about safety? I know we touched on it for a second, but, you know, does anybody sound, you know, Adrian Amos, John Johnson, Taylor Rapp, is anybody drawing your interest, or do you think that they can go into the draft without signing another safety? You know, is it possible in your eyes that they could keep Whitehead? Just for his $10 million cap and the $7 million in savings you'd get, it just seems like they could move on, especially it seems like him and Clark are maybe too similar. Do you think they have to sign a safety?
Yeah, it's tough because it just doesn't look good. And already, like I said, already didn't look very strong coming in. I thought Ward was the guy. He's off the board right now. So
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? Go all in?
You'd love it, but I mean, I guess if we're going all in, why not? But
where are they getting this money from?
I don't know. I do know that going into next year, they should be able to recoup a lot of this money from selling the throwback jerseys they're going to unveil this year. Okay. But that's a conversation for the end of the podcast. But yeah, I guess if you want to go all in, why not? But realistically speaking, they probably won't get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. But I don't know. There are guys like Juan Thornhill who started for the Chiefs the last few years, but he's really not very good. I haven't seen rave reviews for him from Chiefs writers and fans. And then you mentioned Taylor Rapp. He's a good strong safety. I liked him if the Jets were going to go after that in free agency, but they already got Clark. Julian Love is also a good player, but another box safety. So in terms of looking for free safeties out there, it's
Amos.
Amos is there, but he had a very rough last couple of years. I think I saw that he gave up 12 touchdowns over the last 2 years, so that's not ideal.
He's good before that.
It's slim pickings, so maybe it's Tony Adams season. I mean, this is a guy who was an undrafted free agent last year, made the team, played throughout the season, was starting by the end of the year, and looked very good in those two games he played. Only two games, but did look strong. So
it would allow them to spend elsewhere if they want to bring in a Sayamalu or want to bring back Rankins.
That's the thing. Like, you, as much as you want to plug holes, even as a win now team, it is difficult to solve everything. You do have to compromise and pick your spots where you have to go in and say, all right, we're gonna have to develop some talent here, we're gonna have to try to rely on our coaching to get someone to overperform at this position compared to what we invested into them. And I think the free safety spot, is the way things are shaking right now, is a candidate to be that.
And it's probably, out of all the positions, probably the best one for this team because of the corners that they have. You know, right, that it is a position you can maybe go cheaper on, because, look, when you got DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, and Michael Carter II, your safety play, and especially free safety play, might not be as important. Like you said, I like Tony Adams as well. If they're going all in, you know, I still think they should probably add another body, and that's where a guy like Amos could make sense. But regardless, I think you're right. I think, unless they go for the big fish and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, obviously there's still the draft, I think they probably sign somebody like Amos who can then compete with Tony Adams in training camp, and that would make sense. All right, last thing. Any final predictions? Obviously, we're going to have another pod comes out as soon as this compensation gets done, and so maybe there'll be some other moves that we could talk about, but It's the start of free agency. Our Ward and Brendel predictions didn't come true, although we were right about the Jets being in on Brendel, so there's that. Who are some – you have any predictions for us, any on the signings that the Jets will make in the next coming days?
I got nothing.
Okay, fine. I'll do it. I'll say they're going to sign Ben Jones.
Okay.
Actually,
that's a good one. No?
I'm going back. Sorry. Sam Malu. Why not? Okay. Why not stick to my guns? Ben Jones is the obvious one. Ben Jones is the one that every other Jets podcaster will be talking about.
Are they signing him to play center or guard?
I think they're just signing him, and we'll see what happens in the draft. Okay. Obviously, I haven't done too much work on the draft, but if I know there's – what's his name? I'm spacing. Can you help me out here? The center from Minnesota everybody's talking about?
Oh, I'm not the one to ask for that.
Okay, all right. We haven't gotten into the draft stuff yet.
I'm still trying to see if Aaron Rodgers is going to be my quarterback. I can't focus on the draft yet.
I think that they could sign somebody like that, like Sam Malu, and then it really just depends on the draft. You know, if they draft a tackle at 13, maybe they're playing him at center. If the tackles are gone, they trade down, they could take a center and play ABT at tackle. I just think out of all the offensive linemen, he's the best one there. He has the familiarity with Joe Douglas. I think that makes some sense.
You don't think there's, in terms of him playing center, a little bit of risk, you know, going for Aaron Rodgers and you want the guy snapping him the ball to be someone who never played it in the NFL as a starter?
Well, he has some snaps there. He did it as a true freshman at Oregon State. They could still draft a center behind him. Yeah, I'd still pay him. I think they ideally would maybe be drafting a center and playing ABT at tackle, maybe. I don't know. I just think, who else can they sign on this offensive line that'll improve it? I mean, obviously, when you have nobody.
I'll go with Ben Jones in my predictions.
Now you're going to make predictions. Okay, F you. this is why Jets Reddit hates you, Michael. Should we get into that? Should we get into the drama?
I don't think we have to.
I think we should address it. Can we address it for a few minutes? Can I explain it and then you tell me if I'm wrong on anything?
All right.
For anybody who did, I don't think you did anything wrong here, but I do understand why Jets Reddit is pissed, and I think they will never forgive you. But there's a guy on Reddit who had been posting for the past year some Jet scoops and just some, you know, under the radar stuff. I'm not on Jets Reddit ever. Michael sometimes looks at it, but I didn't know who this guy was. 2 days ago or whatever, he posted on Reddit that the Jets and Rodgers deal was done. Michael sees it. Michael sends it to me and says, look, I don't ever, would never trust anybody on Reddit. But then he started to send me screenshots to be like, look, this guy called Cager. This guy called Max Mitchell, the Miles Austin suspension. He called Sam Darnold to San Francisco. Look at this guy's track record. He's batting 1,000. He's clearly plugged in somewhere. Jets to Rodgers is done. We've been refreshing Twitter every 5 seconds. We've been tweeting every 10 minutes. You posted on Twitter. You say, hey, there's this guy on Jets Reddit who says Jets Rodgers is done. I normally wouldn't care, but look at his track record. And then you brought too much heat on him because you have, you know, a good following on Twitter. And so he deleted his account. He didn't like that. And then everybody on Jets Reddit was pissed because they had their source that they all knew about who was posting, you know, giving him information. But once, you know, the famous Michael Nania with his 30,000 Twitter followers brought it to the rest of the world, he didn't like the heat, he deleted his account, and now Jets Reddit will never forgive you for ruining an actual good source on Reddit. So is there anything you'd like to say to Jets Reddit to try to patch this relationship? I see both sides of it. I understand why they're mad. I also see what you're doing. You did delete the tweet in like 8 minutes, by the way. That was the first thing I said to you. I was like, I wonder if he's not going to like that you're posting this. But at the same time, it's like, he's posting it on a public forum. Like, you know, it's not like he was already getting talked about in the NFL subreddits. I don't know. But you were basically trending on Jets Twitter and Reddit for about a few hours there. I was worried about you.
Well, I mean, first of all, I would like to say I do apologize to whoever's account that is. That was never my intention to, have any negative consequences there. I wasn't really thinking of what the potential impact of that might have been. It was just, you know, we were all desperate for Rodgers news and looking to cling on to any piece of hope we can get that it would happen. And, you know, I saw that and I figured, you know, this is pretty confidence inspiring. I think other fans would enjoy to see this as well, to improve their confidence of the deal potentially happening. So that's all the thought process was, really. So Do apologize to whoever's account that may have been, for sure. But, you know, for me, like, I do look at Reddit sometimes, and
I would recommend you don't for the next few days.
I have not.
Okay. I did peek at it. I had an idea of maybe we should read out some of the meanest Reddit posts, but you know what? I won't subject you to that. They were getting pretty nasty on there.
But yeah, like, I don't look at it very often, but I was looking at it the past few days because, again, like, Rodgers news going on. I'm just trying to get any piece of confidence we can get. And I was looking through the threads there. I think it was like a post about Zuerlein re-signing. And I just saw all the people in the replies touting this one guy. They're like, you know, he's nailed everything. He's 5 for 5 so far this free agency. And, you know, I was like, all right, he can't be that good. And then there was one comment. He said, he was replying to someone else. He said, look at my track record, click on my account or something like that. So I did. And I looked through it and I was like, there's some very specific stuff in here that's being nailed. Like, you know, Lawrence Cager starting in 13 personnel against the Ravens. And I was like, I think this is pretty interesting and cool. So I figured
that's fans. And it's not like he doxed him. It's like his username didn't give away who he was.
Yeah, I really just meant to, like, credit him because I thought it was impressive work. I wasn't really thinking of the ramifications. But, yeah, that was an interesting saga, to say the least.
Well, yeah, I don't think...
someone made a wanted poster of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Jets Reddit will be forgiving you anytime soon. I see their side of things because if I was on Jets Reddit, I'm like, this is awesome. I basically have an inside source here who's just giving us free information. And then here comes Michael Nania with his 30,000 Twitter followers and blows up the spot. But at the same time, you know, if he's a mole in Joe Douglas's building, maybe it's a good thing you smoked him out. I guess that's it for now. Obviously, we're going to have another pod coming out here, hopefully soon. Hopefully the Rodgers deal gets announced by the time you're listening to this, that you know the compensation, and then we'll have another pod in the feed talking about it. With that said, though, I think we can wrap it up there. You can follow us at CYJ Pod on Twitter, myself, Ben W. Blessington, Michael underscore Nania. Go to JetsXFactor.com, best place to go for Jets content. Also, if you can't, subscribe to the Jets X Factor YouTube. We post all the podcasts there. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Helps out the pod a ton. I think that's it. Michael, last thoughts?
Well, I mean, I alluded to it earlier, so I guess we should get into it. What do we think about the uniforms for next season? I proposed a plan, and this was not entirely my plan. I think we cooperated on this, but
yes.
I think next season they should make the black jerseys the home primaries. And the reason for this is they didn't wear green last year anyway. They wore one time the whole season. So get that green jersey out of here. Introduce green throwback jerseys. Make that the alternate. Wear those the maximum allowed total of 3 times. And that's your green jersey. 3 games of that. Black at home. White on the road. And you could even wear white at home sometimes as well. Yeah. But I think that's the plan. Bring in throwbacks. Green throwbacks.
The 80s logo.
Yeah, 80s logo. I'm thinking 80s.
So you're getting rid of the black helmet then. So you're saying wear the green helmet with the black jersey. Because what you could do is you could keep the black helmet. Well, I don't know. I guess you could take the green helmet and take off the face mask.
Do alternate helmets have to be with the alternate uniform?
I don't know, man.
Or are those separate? Because then you could like have 3 alternate helmet games separate from the alternate uniform.
I think you only get one. You get 2 helmets. Games. This is getting too. I can't track all this in my head. You get 2 helmets. You get 2 helmets, and you get 1 alternate jersey you can wear 3 times a year. I agree with you. You can make the black jerseys the home primary. I think you just have the green helmet with those, though, and you could wear it with green pants or white pants. What are we fucking talking about? Jesus Christ.
Right. I think I don't really like the black helmets personally. I like the black jerseys better with the green helmet.
I'm going to agree with you, actually. I agree. I think you just better.
Get rid of the black helmet, keep the green helmet, and then when you go throwbacks, like, I mean, you could make an alternate helmet if you want with like maybe a matte paint or a different shade of green to make it look more accurate to those old uniforms, but even if you don't want to do that, you could just put, like you said, put a sticker on the green helmet
and a white face mask
with a different logo and a white face mask. That, I mean, it would look weird with that green chrome helmet. So I think you do kind of need I think the only thing
that would preclude them from doing this, because they did allude to bringing back 80s throwbacks when they announced the black helmet. I think I'm pretty sure they're going to go back to the 80s logo pretty next year. That's the 2024 is the first year they can change uniforms.
Right.
I mean,
although that's a key point to remember here. It has to be 5 years before you can do a full uniform change. So they did it in 2019. Can't do it till 2024. So if you're a fan hoping for a full-on uniform overhaul this off season, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But they could bring in throwbacks this off season. So that's why I had the plan, getting those throwbacks in there.
Here's my prediction on what's going to happen. The Jets are going to submit their request to the league office this offseason to change the uniforms, right? Then the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl this year with Aaron Rodgers, but then they're going to change the uniforms back to the 80s logo. They'll go back to sucking, and then all the Jets fans who hate these current uniforms will be nostalgic for the current uniforms that they won the Super Bowl in. How do you like that theory?
Yes, I think that will definitely happen. Winning is what makes jerseys look good. Like, I'm sure Patriots fans are nostalgic for those Brady era jerseys, yeah, but those are objectively not very good, but
no,
they're just associated with winning, so they have that mystique attached to them.
Let's get out of here. This the uniform.
I'm talking about the mystique of Patriots jerseys.
Yes. Oh my God. There's three people listening at this point.
At 11:48
p.m. Okay. Let's. This week's taking a toll on us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week. As I said, we'll be back maybe in a few hours, maybe in a day. We'll see. Very anxious to see this compensation on Rodgers. Last thing, I know. Prediction on the compensation.
Corey Davis, second round pick, and third round pick.
Third round pick this year or future?
Third rounder next year, second round this year. Wait, okay. There's one more thing we have to go over. Pat McAfee show. What do you think he's going to say? How do you think it's going to go down?
I think he's either going to announce that he's going to the Jets or it will break before then, but I think he'll be confirming that he'll be the Jets quarterback. It's possible that he'll go on and be like, I'm going to be the Jets quarterback. The deal's not done yet, whatever. He doesn't know the compensation. Maybe we won't know the compensation, but I think
tomorrow.
I can't
see him talking about the compensation.
No. I don't think. I'm just saying by the time he's on, maybe we won't know the compensation, but he'll say, yeah, I'm going to be the Jets
quarterback. I'm just very afraid he's going to go on there and be like, well, I'm still kind of thinking about it, or things are still being worked out, like some non-answer. I fear that, but at the same time, why would he go on there at this time to say that?
No, he's confirming what everybody knows. He's going to be the Jets quarterback. It's going to be glorious.
This is the most anticipated YouTube stream of all time.
I'm excited for it. Oh, man. I can't wait. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and watch 3 hours of Aaron Rodgers highlights now before I go to bed. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Don't do that. Not yet. I've been refraining.
All right, I'll wait. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Go Jets.